Hello, hello, Developmentor listeners. Thank you for tuning in, as I'm really excited to share with you today's guest, Luke Constantine, as his story represents so much of what this show is about. Simply put, there is a path for you in tech. Luke grew up in Romania, one of the poorest of the old Soviet bloc countries. At 13 years old, Luke dropped out of school. By the time he was 18, he was addicted to drugs and required to fulfill his country's military service obligations. At 21, in his own words, he was finished with the military and had no hope, no future, and no desire to live. At 23, he decided to go back into the military, this time as a professional volunteer. From age 29 until 42, he worked in logistics for a packaging and bottling manufacturer in Toledo, Spain. And then at 42, he started learning to code and landed his first full-time junior web development role by the time he was 43. These days, he's a front-end developer, having held down roles for the likes of Gatacon's World and Bioclimatic Green Homes in Spain. So if you ever thought it was too late to get into coding, be sure to keep listening as we catch up with Luke Constantine and hear his path in tech.
You're listening to the Developmentor podcast, hosted by Grant Ingersoll. We have one goal on the show, to help you build a successful career in tech, no matter where you're from or where you're going. We do this by showcasing interesting people working across a variety of roles in tech and deep dive into their why. If you want to learn more, please visit our website at developmentor.com or follow us on Twitter at @developmentor.
Hey, Luke, welcome to Developmentor.
Hey, thank you, Grant. Thank you for the invitation. I am honored and I am privileged to share my story and to bring my part of whatever I'm doing right now, because sometimes I don't know what I'm doing.
It's fantastic. Well, now I mentioned in the lead-in, you're in Spain. You know, sometimes I feel like this show is a travel show, but, we were just reminiscing offline about how there's so many just beautiful places to visit in Spain. I'm curious, you know, what's your favorite part about Spain?
Well, we like, when I say we, I'm referring to my wife and my kids and, of course, myself. We like the northern part of Spain, which is Santander. We like that because it's very green and it brings the freshness of the forest, as there are a lot of trees over there. Because in our area, it's a kind of dry. We will live in Toledo. It's kind of a center of Spain, so we don't have that freshness of air.
Oh, fantastic. Now, I have not been to northern Spain, but that does sound amazing. And I totally know what you're talking about, like, Central Spain is definitely pretty dry. So, well, and fantastic. And I know, you know, I mentioned also you're from Romania originally. And so I want to get into that and get into your story here a little bit more. And so, Luke, you know, I'd love to have you take us back to your teenage years or perhaps growing up and have you fill in the blanks a little bit on your bio in terms of what you were feeling and thinking as you dropped out of school, went into the military service in Romania, and as you thought about your future in those, you know, teenage years and early 20s?
Well, you know, when you're a teenager, you don't think about you. I've been thinking about that I'm going to live forever. So I was just, you know, I went to that dark side of the life, where you're surrounded by people that they can drag you to do things that they're not according to the society as well. So going back there, I was a poor guy and I lived in a poor family. And, having 13 years, you think about getting money, having money to buy your own shoes, not being depending of people speedy. This is exactly what I've been through. And, nobody wanted to me. Nobody wanted to hire me because it was so skinny. I barely had one meal a day. and it was just like potatoes. So that was that time. I mean, it was exactly after the revolution that they are calling it, dropped out of the communist government. And I wanted to make a life, to make a living, and I couldn't just because of my situation.
Because this is, so if you're around 13, and I think you were born in the late 70s, so this is all kind of happening as communism is collapsing. Basically, there's just like, what the heck is going to happen with the country? And, you know, how do we put food on the table? Because, you know, all of the old systems have broken down at that point.
Yeah, but there were difficult times. I mean, yes, you had a lot of food to buy from, which is contrary to the communist government, that they didn't put food on stores. Now, we had the food on stores, but we didn't have the money. So we had to do something. I mean, I had to do something since my family couldn't afford that. So I started to want it to work. Nobody wanted me. And then I just met some guys, and one of them was older than I was, and he told me, listen, you could make some money with this. And since I was I had an innocent face and skinny, and people couldn't tell that I am 13, they were just like 9 or 10, you know, I wasn't so much into that age. I was skinny. My appearance wasn't for a guy like 13. I was much over the 9 years of age. So he took me and he placed it to me in this drug world. And I was just, you know, by 15, I was just testing out those little stuffs that they wanted me to sell.
All right. So basically you're selling drugs and then also taking drugs at this point. You get to where you're 18, and I'm assuming Romania has mandatory military service. Is that kind of the way you got out of that life? Was just you had to go fulfill your citizenship duties?
Exactly. It was mandatory back in that day. It was mandatory, and they, you know, drafted you to military service. That was the pause time where, you know, it was just, where am I going? What am I doing? I'm just, you know, I got a big L on my front head from loser. And what I do? What am I doing? Where am I going? And finishing that period of military, well, I was just like, no hope. I didn't know where to go. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I haven't had anything in my hands, like something that you have to know what to do. Like, I don't know, going to, I don't know, make butcher. Become a butcher or whatever. I didn't know even that.
Did you have training from the military, or were you pretty much, you know, quote unquote, just a conscript, if you will, you know, like the guys on the front line?
I had a 6 month training military that was very tough for me since I was skinny due to the previous life. I just had 6 months of tough training. You know, we got to get to drink water from the earth, like, you know, from the leaves, and it was very tough.
But did you have like technical training or anything like that, you know, like learning to operate radios or that kind of stuff? I don't know.
No, I haven't been into radio.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the military is there, but like in the military here, you usually, in addition to doing like the physical training, you learn some skill, you know, ranging from how to fix helicopters through to, you know, computer networking kind of thing.
No, we didn't have that chance. We didn't have that opportunity. No, just training, skills training with the guns, just shooting at, you know, pointing and shooting, and how to take apart a gun and how to reassemble it. Nothing less and nothing more.
So you get through this required service, you know, you're now in your early 20s, I'm assuming. You know, what were you thinking about in terms of your career or future? I mean, were computers or tech anywhere on the horizon at this point? Or is it, I just need to find a job?
It was, I just need to find a job. And during that query of mine, one of my cousin, well, one of my family told me about a course, an MS-DOS course on a university. I didn't afford myself to have a computer, so I just went there, and there was a month course of an MS-DOS. You know, I just fell in love with it, with the keyboard. I love the keyboard, man. It was just the sound of it, and well, how can I can create things in it. There is an MS-DOS. This was something like an old something, okay. But the feeling that I still have it when I'm sitting down on the keyboard, and it was just like, wow, I can create things. So that was just a month, and then I just went into administrative business and went back to military. So it was just no coding, no, just that month. I remember it was in 99, you know, but then since I haven't been used to it, it remained somewhere back into my brain.
The seed was planted, shall we say, right? So then you're in the military, if I got my facts straight here, from kind of like 23-ish to 29. And then if I recall correctly, then, you know, you end up moving to Spain from Romania. So I imagine like kind of all of this, you get out of the military, you move to Spain. Tell me a bit about that time in your life where, you know, that's a pretty big change from where you were. How did that all come about, and what was going on with Luke at that point in time?
Being in the military police, you have a kind of strict life, which for me was good at that point because of my past. I needed to have a strict life and to have rules and to have rules to follow. I mean, to have a program. People like me, that they come from that kind of chaos. In my life was a chaos before military, before being drafted. I needed rules and I needed strict schedules. So being for almost 5 years into military was good for me. But then, you know, you get to the point when you have to take a direction to your life. And this is what happened to Luke at that time. This is what happened to me. I needed to, you know, make a family. So I met a girl, which is currently my wife, and I had to come to meet her. So that was a big shift in my life, coming from a culture to another. They have similarities, but not that much. And adapting myself to the culture here in Spain wasn't that tough, but wasn't that easy either.
Right. Now, did you speak Spanish at all, or?
No, I had to stay for 6 months and watch a program on a sofa from 3 to 4 o'clock p.m. for an hour, kind of a National Geographic programs where they teach you about birds and stuff. And yeah, I know things about birds now. Yeah, and for an hour, I had to put the teletext to read what they are speaking, you know, so that I could hear the pronunciation and to read how the words are written so that I could grasp and understand, right? And I didn't know how to say hello, which is hola.
Yeah, but you knew all the birds.
Right? Yeah, now I know. Now I know, I kind of remember, yeah, the birds, exactly.
So now you're in Spain. You've got to find a job, presumably. And I think this is at the point where you go and work at, it's a logistics or bottling manufacturing type plant. And that's primarily was your life for the past, you know, for your 30s, shall we say, right? And, you know, you're with your wife, you're having a family. So that kind of gets us up to the tech stage. And walk us through, like, what changed? What inspired you to get into tech and become a front-end developer? Like, what, you know, so you had that seed of the clickety-clack of the old mechanical keyboards from way back when. How did that seed then flourish in your 30s and 40s such that you said, hey, I gotta make a change?
It all started up with a friend of mine from Romania, and he's a good friend of mine, and he's actually... Right now, he's mentoring me, and he's helping me right now with my career. What happened at the time is that he said to me, look, you got to see this. And he showed it to me, a website, and then she showed it to me, the codes behind it. And I was like, wow, so you're into this code? Are you creating this on back, and you showing me this on the front? And he said, yes. Okay, and can I do this? And he said, yes, of course, everyone can do this. And I said, do you have a school or something? He said to me, no, I don't. That was the seed that was flourishing in my mind, that I needed to bring my imagination and to bring what I have inside and to build and to make, to bring value to people with that. And I said, do you do this for free? And he said, sometimes yes and sometimes no. But do you make a living? And he said, yes, I do. Wow, that's awesome. I need to find out more. So that's the starting point where he said to me, what should I start it with, which is HTML. And I started.
This is when you were 42, or was this before?
This was February 2019. I mean, it was just last year. It was in January when he told me that.
Yeah. So how did you then go about, so you've got this inspiration from the friend, and it sounds like he's helping mentor you, but then what did it practically look like for you to go learn to code? I mean, did you quit your job, or was this nights and weekends? Like, how did you go about actually learning to code?
Starting in February, my schedule at the bottling manufacturing there, I was from 7 to 3 o'clock p.m. I was waking up at 4 or 5 a.m. And for 2 to 3 hours, I was coding and learning and studying, and then going to my daily job, and then coming back, eating, taking a small snack, having time with my family. And for 3 or 4 hours, for evening time, I was just doing the same, coding and learning and programming. Being into HTML, everything was new for me, and it is. I mean, it is. Everything is new for me still. I was just wanting to say that, you know, HTML is very hard to grasp and hard to understand. I mean, it was like a new world for me. How can I grasp this? And I was just, you know, bothering my friend. Listen, I don't understand that. He was sending me material to learn, tutorials and stuff like that. But he told me this at a certain point. I needed to learn what internet is and what it does and how it's working. So I dropped off on HTML after around 3 weeks, and I started to study what is internet, how does it work, what is Google, what it does. So that helped me in the future project. That helped me a lot. So this is the way I understood how HTML works, is by understanding how a browser works.
Well, so you mentioned some tutorials or websites, et cetera. For our listeners real quick who are just getting into code, do you have any recommendations for sites that really helped you that we might pass along for our listeners? So just a quick, you know, actionable.
Well, at this time, I don't remember exactly what I did in February, but I like to revisit the free code camp of Florin Pop. Everything that he does, everything that he did, it's on YouTube, on his channel. I mean, everything that is free code camp related, that is my main source. And Florin Pop has a very well way of explaining things, and I can relate to the way he's explaining things. I mean, you know, there are a lot of great developers. I respect all of them. But, you know, I had to identify the one that I can relate to in terms of learning. So Florin is one of them.
That's amazing. Well, so you start this in January, February of 2019. You're basically waking up every morning, coding and learning for 2 hours. You're doing it again in the evening. Like, how much time before you felt like, yeah, I could actually do this?
Having the basics, as I am a junior myself, but thinking of this is right now, I like this question because it's a challenging question. Your question, it brings out the imposter syndrome, because every time I sit myself in front of the computer and started coding and, you know, just trying to grasp and trying to understand new concepts and starting to code and to build, I'm thinking, wow, am I good enough at this? Am I? And then I just see the result at the end of the week, and I just look, wow, that's amazing. That looks really good, man. I'm good. And then the next day I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know anything. I don't know how to code. I don't even know how to say hello world and put a tag on HTML. But yes, I could say this to answer to your question. I could say this. I don't know, having a good foundation, starting with what I did is starting with HTML and planting that in understanding and grasping the concepts of how does it work. Well, I could say, okay, I can do this.
You know, it's one thing to learn to code, right? Especially learn to code on your own. It's another thing to actually land a job, you know? So at some point along the way, you said to yourself, hey, this is more than just a hobby. I'm going to go get a job as a front-end developer. How did you go about doing that? How did you prepare? How did you, you know, get ready for the interviews? How did you land that first job in web development?
So I made a list of, you know, within the area that I live in, and I made a list of friends that had business. And I just, you know, asked people, do you have an internet? Do you have a website? Do you have a Google account? So making this list, I started to ask. And then one of them told me that, yes, I wanted a, but one of them, I just, some of them told me that I want a website and I wanted that. But one of them told me that, listen, let's meet. And we had a meeting. I prepared the meeting, like, you know, having some questions like, what is your business about and stuff like that. And finally understood that some of the key point within a website is to present the business, not the language that you use. So what I did was just taking that information and put it to a CMS. I bought a theme on WordPress and getting along with that.
That first job was you went in and said, hey, here's a proposal for what I could do for your business website. Is that right?
Exactly.
You get hired and you start coding away, right? Is that basically?
Exactly. He told me, okay. He said to me, listen, I can see that you have more experiences than I am, because he was just, you know, he's into constructions realm. And he said to me, listen, I can see that you're more experienced than I am, and you just go ahead and I'll pay you for this job, and I'll pay you to take care of everything that is social media related with websites and Googles. And yeah.
Was this a full-time job, or were you still working at the bottling plant at that point?
At that point, I was still working at the bottling plant. But I just want to mention something that maybe for people like me, it's going to be helpful. This is the way I feel, and I can say that there are a majority of people like this. But I've been, that was, you know, logistic factory was my comfort zone. So from February to December, I was just working on my dream, working on coding, oriented to programming. And on December, I went to the office and said to the boss that on June to 2020, I will leave this shop, and I want you to know this so that you will give me someone to prepare. I wasn't in my shoes when I did that, because I was just leaving by saying this and by taking this decision. I was just getting off my comfort zone, laying on my programming skills and on my programming, career, sort of at that point, without knowing what is going to be in the future. So I had to push myself out of that comfort zone. And that's why I went on 2019 December to tell my boss at that time, listen, I'm going out. I'm going to leave the job in next year in June. So you will find someone else to be here. I was actually pushing myself out from my comfort zone.
That's so cool. But so you, I mean, that's a lot of pressure, right? You've got 6 months to churn what is, you know, nights and weekends hobby. And, you know, you've got one side hustle kind of thing going. Get me up to June here. Like, what did you do to then get to the place where you feel like you can go do this on your own and, you know, go full time, as it were? Especially with a pandemic going on, by the way.
Yeah. That is at that point in March when pandemic came. Well, I can say to you this: by the end of the May, I had an offer of a full-time web developer, front-end developer job, full-time. It was like, wow, it was so great and so motivating for me in almost 5 months. I was still working at the factory, and I already received a full job offer. And they put me to a test for a few days, and they liked me, and I just went with them. But it was so dragging. It was so exhausting. I mean, I was from 8 in the morning to 9 in the evening, and I couldn't have a time with my family. They all always upon me just because I was remotely working, just because of the pandemic. So after almost 20 days, I said to them, bye-bye. This is not my dream. This is not what I want to do. I still had the hustle, like you said, from Bioclimatics, which still I am right now. And I took another one with it, which is Catagons, and I just went with that, and I am within that. But between this frame, what I did to get a job actually was coding, building, coding, building, and taking notes and learning JavaScript. And the way I learn JavaScript is by I'm a visual learner, and I'll drawing. I'm not that good at drawing. I mean, I don't like to show my drawing because I don't want to embarrass myself. But this is, I'm taking notes, actually written notes. I already have a blog about this, but anyway.
So interesting. So cool. So you're doing like just project-based work at that point, like this, you know, as you're learning, you're picking up projects and kind of just figuring out how to go implement certain things. So I love the emotion and the excitement. I know like that landing that first job can be amazing. For our listeners then, you know, what's it like being a junior dev in your 40s, kind of starting over? What's the feeling like in terms of how you've, you know, I can hear the excitement, but I mean, what has it all been like for you as you look back on it?
First of all, my body's okay. I'm working out and I'm, you know, just with health, I'm okay. But I have a memory problem that I forget things. So I had to take some magnesium for that. And that will be the only, you know, challenge that I have within health. But if we are talking about the exciting of coding and starting over, and this is, I mean, you know, life brings you to certain points where you have to start over, so that, you know, even that you have to start over millions of time, you have to start over because you have to get going. So I don't demotivate myself. And I always find points where I can get motivations, which one of them is, you know, I can build things that I could offer to people that they don't know what I know. And I can help them with what I do, with what I build, with what I know, with who I am. It's challenging. Yes. Can it be done? Of course.
What inspired you then to take the leap into the public eye and actually tell your story publicly? Because, you know, you have this, you have a great blog, Accolades Dev. We'll link it up in the show notes where you're sharing your journey very publicly. You've got a good following on Twitter and social media where you share your journey as well. What inspired you to do that? Because it's one thing to go work in tech and just, you know, kind of do your job. And it's another thing to share it.
Well, I know that there are people like me, and there are people like they need help. They need hope. And I was one hopeless drug addict back in the 90s. And right now I know that I can bring hope also for that category of people and for people that they are above 40. And they tend to question themselves, is it programming for me at this age? Can I do this and this? And if I can bring a drop of hope, then here I am sharing my story and just bringing hope and bringing their value, that they true value, that they can do this. If they want to, they can do this. I mean, look at me. I can do this. I got four kids. and I got 43. I got 43 years of age. I live in a foreign country. I had to, you know, to learn Spanish. And of course, it's hard. Yes, it's challenging, but yes, it can be done. Yes, we can do this. I mean, it's not at hand. No, we have to work, yes, but it's awesome. I mean, I can see the results in people that they're sending me messages and, man, your story is great and it's just inspiring. I'm inspiring them and they are inspiring me because I'm inspiring them. And it's, you know, it's not that something that I give and they don't give, or something that they give, and it's mutual things. It's a mutual thing is intact. I just saw that. I learned that. So it's awesome.
I've been following you on Twitter for some time, and you know, that's why I wanted to reach out and have you on the show, because I think it's so true and it's so amazing what you've been doing. Reflect for a little bit of, you know, obviously you've had a lot in your life before tech, but what's been some of the challenges of learning to work in tech for you, you know, like now that you're in the role and getting some experience, what have been some of the roadblocks or challenges you've had to work your way through?
I still struggle with this. There are two. First of all, is scheduling, because of life, you know, it's life. You have to schedule things, and then you have to respect that schedule. So it's challenging for me. Not only because I got four kids and that, but it's challenging for me to maintain the rule and to maintain the schedule and the habit to code every single day. So I have to create, I have to make that time for myself where I am in the front of the computer and putting myself to code. And second of it is that there are a lot of frameworks, a lot of new languages, shining things, and I tend to go there. I tend to want to learn that because it's newer, because it's you know, fancy, and that is one of my other challenges. So I just, you know, focus. I try to retain myself and to focus to basics and to remain, to keep getting everything that is coming from the basics, from the fundamental, to have a good fundamental, to have a good basis. That is the point in programming. This is what I have been learned in the last, I don't know, couple of months. So this is my challenge at this very moment.
When you look forward at, you know, kind of the landscape of JavaScript and front-end development, what are you excited to learn next?
I love Vue. In comparison to React, I love Vue, and I will love to get in more deeper with Vue. It's a good way of having a good understanding within, you know, building things. So this is my next goal, to learn Vue.
Yeah, and for our listeners out there, that's Vue, Vue.js. Actually, Luke, it's interesting. You know, my day job, I work at the Wikimedia Foundation. We just adopted and are in the middle of rolling out Vue.js across Wikipedia, and still pretty early in our journey there, but it does indeed have some exciting front-end capabilities. That's fantastic. For our listeners, we'll link up some resources on Vue.js as well as Free Code Camp and things like that. Luke, last couple of questions for you. You know, what would you say to anyone out there who is in the same boat you were back, you know, say when you were 18 and you're trying to figure out a few of these things about your life? What would you say to 18-year-old Luke about, you know, the opportunities in tech and making a change in your life?
I will say this. I would just say to them that they had a great opportunity. Tech world is so wide. It's so open. You have a lot of resources and you can do this. You can build a career. You can build a future with everything that is at hand. And, you know, being unique, being who you are, that's the point. I mean, I don't have to be like, just I mentioned, Florian Pop. I like to be me, and I like to code, and I like to programming, to build things. And I would say to someone as of in his 20s, I would say listen, code as much as you can, build as much as you can, and learn the fundamentals, learn the basic. This is what I would say to him, to that person.
Nothing more I can add there. I think that's so amazing. And Luke, you know, your journey is so inspiring. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join me here. Last question for you. Where can our listeners best follow you and connect with you and learn more about you and your career path?
Mostly of my time, I'm on Twitter, is where I interact the most, which on @accolades_dev is my handle. And I write my weekly article with my journey on, of course, blog.accolades.dev. This is where I write an article every week about my understanding of my struggles or my victories and my failures. That's the way, that's where I can be and where I can be found. I'm also on LinkedIn, which is Luke Constantine, of course. I'm there just, you know, to interact with business and to help some other people.
That's fantastic, Luke. And of course, as always, for our listeners, we will link up all of the places you can connect with Luke here. And if you are in that starting off phase, especially of software engineering, Luke has some great personal stories just about how he's learning to code. And I think that's so much of where we're at these days in tech, is just share your journey. So Luke, thank you again for joining me here today on Developmentor.
Thank you as well for the invitation.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Developmentor podcast. If you like the show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Even better, please leave us a review. If you want to hear older episodes, leave feedback, or sign up to be a guest, please visit us at developmentor.com. If you'd like to support the show, there are three ways you can help out. 1, make a donation via Patreon. 2, if you're a software engineer looking for your next gig and wanting to practice interviewing, use our referral link to the interviewing.io platform. And 3, buy your next tech book from Manning Publications using our affiliate link. All of those links can be found at developmentor.com/support-us. That's SUPPORT-US, all one word. Most importantly, if you like this show, please tell your friends. Referrals are the lifeblood of any podcast. Finally, we here at Developmentor hope that each and every episode helps you move one step closer to finding your path.